On this episode of ITAV, protecting you and your clients from DDoS attacks, software-defined networking, and AV security in high-risk environments. All that and more, next on ITAV.
The network for the AV industry.
What are you listening to?
This
is AV.
This is AV Nation.
This is AV Nation.
This is ITAV, episode 17, recorded Friday, May 11, 2018. Virtualized AV.
Support for AV Nation is brought to you by SDVOE, the platform for networked AV.
This is the ITAV show, the monthly look at the intersection between the IT world and the audiovisual world. My name is Tim Albright. I am your host. With us to discuss that very thing this month, first and foremost, his name is Derek Junkus, and he works for Extron Electronics. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to see both of you guys.
Good to see you, man. Good to see you. The other guy he is referring to, his name is Michael Drainer. He is the chief everything at Drainer Technologies. How are you, sir?
Doing well. That's a good way to put it. The chief everything. I like that.
I tell people I'm the chief bottle washer. They try to give me, titles like president and founder and... I was like, you know what? I'm the janitor too, so you can put whatever you want on there.
I saw you taking out the trash the other day.
I did. Thank you very much.
And I almost told your wife.
Bank in new offices. let's kick this off here. First story up actually comes to us from CSO, which is a security blog, and they're talking about this one specifically talking about Australian DDoS attacks are ramping up in April. Actually, they quadrupled. And the title of the article says, "Are you ready? Were you ready for the surge?" Hey, Michael, I want to start with you on this. I mean, Michael is the Drainer Technologies is a security firm. There's an IT firm. They help a lot of folks ramp up cameras and the IT deployments as well as backup and stuff like that. When it comes to DDoS attacks, what can integrators do to, first of all, protect themselves, keep their networks up and running, but also, we're deploying more and more networks as well. How do you protect your clients?
Well, first of all, it's important to understand that nobody's immune from this. We were just talking before the show about some folks that we know very well that were recently attacked and caused a significant outage of their network. So you're not immune to this, and don't think that your internet provider's just automatically going to take care of it. But on that note, a lot of internet providers do offer either value services or premium services to help circumvent DDoS attacks, where they address them at aggregation points within their network by monitoring the traffic and identifying potential issues. So on top of that, we always recommend the ISP as the first line of defense. Second is going to be to make sure you're reducing your attack surface area. So what do I mean by that? Make sure that you don't have ports open in your environment that shouldn't be open. So if you have a cloud-hosted server and you're providing a service to your clients, make sure that only the ports that are required to be open to deliver that service are the ports that are available. Same thing on your office network or any content networks that you're dealing with. Next, we want to plan for scale. So planning for scale is making sure that we're properly sizing our pipes and our servers to accommodate for the possibility that we could see increases in traffic. If you're already running at 60, 70, 80% capacity, you get hit, then it's going to be a very short time until your systems are coming online. Next, we need to know what is normal traffic. So we've got to be able to monitor what's going on and understand what are normal traffic patterns for us so that when we do see that there's an issue that we're able to address it properly. And finally, make sure we're using application-aware firewalls that are capable of identifying application-specific threats such as SQL injection, HTML redirects, various things like that. And those application firewalls both reside locally at your office location as well as any cloud-based services that you're going to utilize. You should be using application-aware firewalls. So those are just a few things that you can do. They get kind of deep. We definitely recommend if you've got services that have to have high availability for your clients, make sure that you're working with a security expert, because even I don't know everything that is needed to properly protect this. I've got people that I work with to help us in these scenarios. So, yeah.
I want to drill down for a second, because you said a phrase there that I want to kind of get a clarification on. Mm-hmm. Application aware firewalls. Now,
yes.
I am of an age, and I would say we are of an age, because I know how, you know, roughly how old both of you are, that I remember physical fireworks.
I think you're the old one, aren't you?
I am the oldest one, but that's okay. I remember physical firewalls, right? Yeah. An actual physical box. Mm-hmm. And I remember when Michael and I used to room together. We used to share actually a house, an apartment. And when Michael set up our network for playing things such as, you know, Half-Life on the LAN. But he had, I remember when we went from a physical firewall, a physical box that filtered out everything, to a at the time it was just software, but we would call it now a virtual firewall, right? Michael, these application aware firewalls, these are software applications, correct, that live on the network, or something else?
So it's a little bit different. So what you're talking about is the difference between dedicated hardware firewalls versus something that's operating on a server platform. And both can have application aware capabilities. And what we mean by application aware, a traditional firewall simply knows IP addresses and TCP ports, UDP ports. It doesn't have a lot of analytic capability to get deep into the packets and aware of application states. So for instance, if you have Microsoft SQL running on your network, an application aware firewall knows the characteristics of SQL queries. It knows the characteristics of the transports that are required, and it's going to be able to identify, is this normal traffic or is this not normal traffic? And then make a decision based on its profiles as to whether it should block or allow that traffic. Okay. In the traditional world, we just had to say, okay, this range of IP addresses on these specific IP ports, you're not allowed in. But today, there's so many applications that we need to let into our networks. If we just open it up, we're really exposing ourselves. So we need firewalls that have deep packet inspection, application awareness, so that we can still get the level of protection that we need.
Okay. Derek, from a both a manufacturer standpoint and an integrator standpoint, because Derek used to, you know, be an integrator at one point in time, how do you design systems like this? How do you design from the paper on up to, you know, put in a lot of these safety procedures and safety measures that Michael's talking about?
Yes, I think it's really application specific, because as Michael was mentioning, you know, you go from a time where we were basically doing indiscriminate networking, or maybe it might have been discriminate because certain appliances only had certain capabilities. But now enterprise companies, they have all of these tools at their disposal, and the challenge before getting things on the network, now it's getting them on the network and getting them to be able to communicate to the right places and be able to gather the right kind of content, the right kind of data, the right kind of information. So as an integrator, I would definitely be working with customers and their IT representation to better understand the fabric of what they have and what you can do. Because something just as simple as setting up two devices to speak with one another, and maybe in a control scenario, could be something that that may not be routed correctly because of the type of filtering that is done. And I think filtering is done both at the application level, but also at the network transport level. So absolutely, as you're kind of thinking in the different ways to put together systems now, I mean, it's not just all HDMI cables and BNC connectors anymore. I think what we're really talking about is some level of data integration, because the amount of information that gets shared between a lot of our traditional AV appliances now is tremendously different than it was just even a couple of years ago.
So let me ask you this, Derek. Is it something where, and this goes back to something we've talked about before, is this something where the audiovisual professional needs to get even more education about what's normal? And Michael said, you know, what's normal? What's normal on a network? Not only from the IT standpoint, but also from their own, even if they're running their own private network and it happens to have either a VPN or a single connection over to the corporate LAN.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, the types of conversations and the people you need a relationship with now is not just the person necessarily who may have hired you or is responsible for the project you may be working on. There may be other layers of people that are going to require to be involved in that decision making. And to Michael's point, you know, there are very specialized tools that you know, provide layers of security that are very application specific. And you know, far be it for an integrator to really even know or be able to respect what those are, because they're not inside that company. And that presents some challenges, because a lot of the things that I would say that our industry is looking to do is over other people's networking. And it's not necessarily the networking you provide. I mean, you are basically a client to that network. Yeah. So you need to make sure that the tools or the resources that you're providing as part of a solution help or some kind can bond or fit to what that customer's expectation might be. And it might not just be the person that hired you due to the project. There may be other layers within the organization or even in your own organization where you have stipulations or requirements, and you got to try to figure out the best practices for those to blend together.
No, absolutely. There's a lot more people involved in these networks than there were, you know, even 10 years ago.
Yeah, right. I mean, it used to be, right, we would go in and we'd hang a quick display or a projector, you know, you'd do some physical mounting and some other things. And, oh yeah, I'd like to monitor that on the network. And you get a network drop and somehow a cable would appear and you just plug it in. And I gave it an IP address and then you're kind of, you know, your taillights down the road. I don't think it's even like that anymore.
No.
And in these cases, the kind of integration, even for simple systems, requires a lot of knowledge and planning. Simple is just maybe the physical appearance of the products to maybe in the space, but at the application level, it may be.
Well, and we're very much talking about application specific type stuff, but when you really get down to the crux of it in the corporate environment, let's bring that down in the OSI model a little bit. Sure. We're seeing a lot more 802.1x, which is basically Mac level authentication or right. user access at the Mac level just to gain physical access to the switch port, right? So we're seeing Cisco ICE deployments. We're seeing security levels where before you would just put something on the network, give it a static IP. Today, static IPs are very difficult to operate in the enterprise environment. And we're still seeing a lot of manufacturers rolling stuff out that don't have the ability to take dynamic addressing. And so it's like, okay, in this day and age, manufacturers, why are we not on top of this stuff? Why are we not supporting 802.1x? Because that's what the corporate and enterprise world is demanding.
Yeah, and as a manufacturer too, when you take a look at some of the 802.1x requirements, it's challenging too, because you may have products that have been around for a long time and
right.
the expectation may be 802.1x, but the technology stack that somebody built inside of a product may not be able to provide it. So sometimes I think as manufacturers in our industry, you run up against some challenges of which projects and which products do you sort of prioritize to go to the front of the pack so you can provide those additional levels of services.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, guys, our next story comes to us from RCR Wireless, talking about SDN, software-defined networking. And I want to read a quote here from this article. It talks about the increase of 5G and what they call the vision of 5G. Quote, unquote, "While the vision of network slicing is still some ways off, the addition of increasingly advanced SDN solutions to data centers around the world demonstrates the incremental progress towards the ultimate goal," which is this software-defined networking. Derek, I want to start with you on this. When it comes to the AV industry, there's a lot of folks who are making noise about software-defined this, that, and the other. There's software-defined video over IP. There's a software-defined control. And folks, you know, you guys are, Extron is putting together control from a Python-based, so in other words, a traditional computer language-based programming language. Is this kind of where not just the IT industry is going, the software-defined part, but do you see a point where the AV industry is going to some sort of virtualization?
Well, I think so. I think so. And I think the devil is in the details there.
Okay.
I think very naturally, right? I mean, you think of the typical food groups in AV, you think of audio, video, control. If you put those natural food groups and could stack them up, you would say right off the bat that, hey, you know, these seem like things I should be able to somehow virtualize or segment, because now a lot of them are going over the network. So you think of technologies like Dante, look where that's headed. Mm-hmm. There was you take a look at what some of the other manufacturers are doing with, putting IP based video across the network in a little more systematic way. And you say to yourself, okay, that gets pretty close, but I would still say functionally, many of those things are a bit immature in comparison to some of the other things that are going on in the broader IT world. And that in itself is kind of a little bit of a challenge, because there aren't many integrators who are going to have the ability, almost like we were talking about just a few seconds ago, to go in and, you know, put some handles and grab bars onto these kinds of elements within a customer's network. And so it kind of goes back to, you know, do some of these systems need to be isolated? In other words, they need to be on their own network. And if not, then how do they get integrated onto someone else's enterprise and then within their infrastructure, within their expectations? And I guess I see that as a challenge in terms of expectations. I think there's expectations that need to be set at the integrator level. I think there's expectations that probably need to be set with people like consultants and technology managers. And I think that at the enterprise level, people that actually are buying, consuming, and owning the technology, I think there's expectations that need to be set there. And some of those expectations are more or less talking about how, you know, traditional AV applications could be integrated into those kinds of environments. But just like everything else in the IT world has the lead, and we're tethered several years behind them. In terms of maturity, right? I don't know if you guys feel the same, but no, that's the way I see
absolutely.
It a lot of the times. It's hard, right? We have we kind of grew up from a world where all of the devices, we always wanted to have separate devices. So if you're an audio person, you want to have different components and the knobs, and you want to be able to get to everything, you know, very tactile. And what we're talking about here is tactile, but also tactical, because the people that can do and have that kind of training are very, very specialized. And you have to basically be a keyboard warrior to be able to really go in and decide what gets segmented on these networks, because a lot of these virtual network functions are assimilated into a huge cross-section of technology. And I think, as you're mentioning about denial of service before, this is where this ties in as well, because those are a lot of those same kind of features and policy decisions are propagated from that same decision-making body, right? These are the things that we allow. These are the things that we don't allow to happen on our network.
Yeah,
and I think it's honestly, in some ways, it's great for our industry, because I think it's the next level of custom integration.
Mm. Right? That's a great point, actually, yeah.
Right, I think so. But but at the same time, there's a lot of stuff for all of us to learn about these expectations.
Well, you know, you make an interesting point there, Dirk. You know, you talk about the individual individual pieces, right, of the AV world. And we're seeing that in the network ecosystem as well, right? You had your routers and your switches and, you know, your modems and all the different pieces that make up that infrastructure and people that specialized in those various pieces of infrastructure. But now with SDN, what we're seeing is all of those functions are coming out of those devices, and they're moving into a server stack or a cluster that's handling all that processing. You've got a control layer across the entire global network of an enterprise. So that drastically changes this environment. And as manufacturers start to figure out, hey, wait a minute, there's an API now. There's an API where I can talk to the network and I can control the network with an API or an SDK and dynamically allocate resources. That really changes the game as we start talking about these more bandwidth intensive applications. We're talking about 10G video capability, 40G video capability. And as the backbones become bigger and bigger, we're going to need the ability to dynamically allocate not only bandwidth slices, but hardware slices and processing slices and control slices within that ecosystem. So it gets to be very integrated at a very high level and very deep, very fast.
Yeah, and I was just going to add to what you're saying that I did guess as a company, and I just speak for Extron, we've kind of chosen more of an open approach in terms of APIs, in terms of, I don't know, you mentioned Python earlier, Tim, in terms of choosing, trying to make choices where not only giving people customization options, but doing in a way that's sort of a little more open standard. Embrace what we need to brace to keep our products and have our products have their own integrity. At the same time, we're trying to find a good blend of opportunities for APIs, because on some level, the person with the most APIs wins, because that allows them the greatest amount of interoperability and the greatest amount of specialization. As you mentioned, you pull these functions outside of a centralized piece of hardware, you're really beginning to look at the roots, right? Mm-hmm. And those roots each have a function or a capability. They're rooted in something. And I think that's something that our industry, over time, will have to come to kind of come to grips with a little bit, which would be, like I said, I think it's the next level of integration, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Our last story here comes to us from AV Network, the folks at SCN and AV Technology and a bunch of others. AVNetwork.com, talking about Nanolumens helping a casino called Four Winds, and not necessarily about Nanolumens, but actually got me thinking about casinos and the security in the network on casinos and how those interact with the AV industry and the AV network. I'm going to read a quote here from the folks at the Four Winds Casino. In the casino world, quote unquote, it's pretty much understood that bigger and brighter is better at attracting guests and ensuring a fun, enjoyable, and gaming experience. This is true when it comes to the front end, right? When it comes to the actual, what the guests experience, right? Brighter colors, brighter displays. But Michael, when it comes to the back end and when it comes to the security, bigger is not necessarily better, is my understanding and my experience in working with casinos and their security needs. Now, let's be frank here. I think most of us have seen Ocean's 11, or at least know what that movie's about, right? It's Brad Pitt and George Clooney stealing $100 million from Andy Garcia from the Bellagio. Now, they didn't break into their network, except for they did, right? They physically had an attachment to their network. When it comes to working with casinos, when it comes to working with Fortune 500 banking institutions or financial institutions, what sort of issues, what sort of gotchas and traps are there for the AV integrator who has to come in there and deploy a good system from the front end? In other words, make it look pretty, make it functional, make it operate flawlessly, but also from the back end, making sure that it talks to everything it's supposed to talk to without letting anybody in.
So the great thing is in those types of environments that you described, there are typically fairly decent network architects that you're working with on the client side that are going to make sure that you're following their protocols to achieve their level of security and compliance if it's a banking institution or PCI compliant type space. So not that you shouldn't have a good understanding of what's going on, but they're going to pretty well set the pace as to what's going to be required. Now, talking about bigger is better or not better, front end versus back end, anytime you can reduce your attack surface area, you're in a better position. So as you go bigger, obviously you're increasing that attack surface area, and you have to be more aware of what the various vectors are by which a would-be perpetrator could access that network. So as we get into bigger environments, we start to see more wireless devices, especially in the world of IoT, whether it's a wireless controller talking to a display atop a building, or maybe we're seeing some Zigbee type mesh devices as well starting to be deployed in these environments. So making sure we've got the right encryption in place. So you've got to be aware of how your devices communicate and what those attack vectors are, and then make sure you're applying the proper protocol to circumvent or hopefully prevent would-be attackers. But definitely rely heavily on those network architects that are with those major corporations. Because whether it's a casino, unless it's small hold-up casino out on a desert somewhere or on a mountaintop that's just all by itself, typically they're going to have resources that are going to guide and direct you.
All right, Derek, from both a manufacturer's standpoint, because I'm certain there's at least one or two casinos in the country that have an Xtrom product in there.
I imagine so.
I imagine so. How do you guys help the integrator, kind of transverse this very interesting and very unique landscape?
Yeah, I look at it like, there's a lot of very application-specific verticals that are out there. And I think the working with casino environments is probably one of those, super niche ones for our industry. Mm-hmm. And there are certain companies and integrators out there that do a really great job kind of navigating those projects, because you mentioned the word big, and my first thought was, I can't remember the last casino project that I was aware of that wasn't really big. I mean, in terms of lots of systems and complexity and all those things. So I echo what Michael said. you know, you're really looking to go out there and have partnerships, more informational and collaboration partnerships to understand and get that local knowledge. I mean, your technicians that are out there, you can't really expect them to be able to interpret except with that which they can see. And what you're really doing is, you know, before we even turn a wrench or, you know, finish your CAD drawings and show how things mount to structure, you're probably having probably protracted planning discussions about, you know, how the technology that is being proposed or requested is going to kind of meet with, you know, the requirements of that organization. And in the casino world, you know, they're literally trying to protect the house, right? So, yeah. And I think the level of sophistication there has increased. I don't think there's any informational or, as Michael was saying, really any lack of expertise there. There's a lot of folks, and they know what they're doing because they have to. That's how they subsist and other companies are run.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, that'll be a good place to stop here. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Mr. Michael Drainer, how do people find you or Drainer Technologies?
DrainerTechnologies.com. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Drainer, and we'll see you out there on the interweb somewhere.
All right. Mr. Jonkas, I appreciate it as always, sir. How do people find you and or Extron?
Just Extron.com. And if you want to reach out to me, djonkas@extron.com.
All right. Very good. My name is Tim Albright. Don't follow me on the Twitters, but go by the website, avnation.tv. Avnation.tv. You will find this program and a host of others, including our two weekly news programs. AV Week looks at the pro AV space, and Resi Week that looks at the residential and the home AV space. Also, while you're there, check out our underwriter section. These are the folks who support us financially and help us bring you shows like ITAV, and Extron is one of them, so we thank them for their support. Also, check out our Infocom 2018 section. We've already got interviews up and running. We're previewing a bunch of folks' booths, talking about what they're bringing to the show, and there are a couple of interesting announcements in those interviews, so check those out. All that and more at avnation.tv. Avnation.tv, thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for watching. That's all the time we have for ITAV.